Our lesson tonight is out of Mark chapter 8, verses 10 through 21, Christ's work to critique inexcusable unbelief in him. We learned in our first lesson in this series that Mark's gospel presents the perfect service of God's perfect servant Jesus, with Mark's focus of having rebounded unto upright service from personal failure. Well, Mark's defection had as its underlying cause a lack of faith in God, as do all sorts of defections. Jesus critiqued this unbelief in various parties in Mark chapter 8, 10 through 21, and review the passage for our insight. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 10 and going to verse 21. And straightway Jesus entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, putting him to the test. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek after a sign? Truly I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them any more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they were reasoning among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew this, he said unto him, why are you reasoning because you have no bread? Perceive you not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? When I broke the five loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? They said unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? Okay. Jesus, first of all, critiqued the Pharisees' unbelief in him in Mark chapter 8, 10 to 13. After the feeding of the 4,000, Jesus entered into a ship with his disciples, and he crossed over the Sea of Galilee to Dalmanutha. And scholars and other passages of Scripture imply that this is Magadan, which is on the opposite or the western shore. He had been serving the people, feeding the 4,000 on the eastern shore. He got in a boat and crossed over to the western shore. Now, Christ was met there by some Pharisees. They came out and they tried to test him, asking for a sign from heaven, something to authenticate him as being truly God's messenger to Israel. In reality, we know that they were not actually looking for a sign. In fact, they really didn't think that he could produce such a thing. Why? Well, in reality, they believed just the opposite. They believed that Jesus was working by Satan's power. You remember back in Mark chapter 3, verse 22, the scribes which came down from Jerusalem, and the scribes, they would have been Pharisees and so forth, said, he has Beelzebub, which is a slang for Satan, and by the prince of the demons does he cast out demons. So they were actually trying to trip Jesus up. They were putting him to the test. You notice what Mark says. They're putting him to the test. They're trying to test him. Because what they want to do is to try to discredit Jesus. They're opposed to him already. Well, the Pharisees were without excuse for not trusting in Jesus, for they believed in the divine inspiration and the authority of the written Old Testament scriptures, the Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia of the Bible, volume 4, page 747, points this out about the Pharisees' belief. And Jesus himself had appealed to his fulfillment of scripture and his miracles as proof that he was the Messiah. He did this to the disciples of John the Baptizer. You remember in Matthew chapter 11, 2 through 6, when we were going through Matthew's gospel, John the Baptizer had sent his disciples to Jesus. He was in prison. He was disillusioned there. He didn't think he was supposed to end up in prison if he was the forerunner of the Messiah. So he sent his disciples to say, are you the one that we're looking for? Are you the Messiah? Or are we looking for someone else? And Jesus told the disciples of John, go back and tell John what you see. The lame are healed, the blind see, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them, the dead are raised. These are references to the fulfillment of God's presence in Israel. In fact, when God's presence would show up, according to Isaiah 35, 4 through 6, Isaiah 61, 1, these were signs that would be there. So this is a sign that God was in their midst. The implication is that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. So they had no excuse. They had the scriptures there, and they could see the works of Jesus that fulfilled them. Accordingly, Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit. He refused the Pharisees' request for an authenticating sign, as he had all along been authenticating his ministry as a Messiah by way of his miracles. Jesus then left the Pharisees. He entered back into the boat that he just left to cross back over to the other side of the sea, withdrawing from the spiritually dark, hardened Pharisees. And going to the other side, he probably didn't go directly east. He probably went maybe to the northeast, up near Bethsaida or something, but he crossed away from them. This is an indication that Jesus was just plumb withdrawing from these men. They were so darkened, they were so resistant to him, now they're trying to trip him up. He just doesn't have anything to do with them, gets back in the boat, leaves them. It's interesting that the Son of God himself got to the point where he just turned his back on people. You know, if that's the way you're going to be, if you're just going to reject and you're going to try to trip me up, I have no more dealings with you. And it's a terrible thing when God turns his back on people like that, but it's something that happens. Well, Jesus then critiqued the unbelief in him expressed by his own disciples. This is in verses 14 to 21. And while they were in the boat crossing back over the sea, Jesus told his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Herod. Now, if anyone is involved in making bread, you know that with bread you need yeast to make it rise. And yeast is a leaven. And they would have different types of leaven in those days, but this was the leaven that he was talking about. Well, the disciples had forgotten to take physical bread with them except for one loaf, according to Mark 8:14. So they reasoned that Jesus was warning them about buying bread from the Pharisees and the Herod. They wondered if maybe there was something wrong with the leaven that the Pharisees had, or maybe it was poisonous or something like that, or they were going to try to poison them. They weren't thinking of spiritual things at all. They're way out in left field, and Jesus is in right field. There's a tremendous disconnect here at this point. Well, Jesus knew their reasoning, so he asked, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread?" He asked if they did not yet perceive or understand in their hearts, as their hearts were hardened, that having eyes they did not see and having ears they did not hear. It's interesting that this is a critique that God had of Israel back in Isaiah's day. You remember we're going through the book of Isaiah in our prayer meeting studies. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10, as God called Isaiah to minister to Old Testament Israel, he told Isaiah, "Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." And then Isaiah said, "Lord, how long?" And he answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant." In other words, until the judgment of God falls. So these people, the disciples themselves, were acting just like Israel that was set for judgment back in Isaiah chapter 6. Their hearts were hardened, and so they were not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ at all. Well, this was a charge of unbelief, the same problem to a lesser degree that Jesus had critiqued in the Pharisees. So he clarified how his disciples should have responded in faith and not in unbelief. First of all, he asked them that when he had recently broken the five loaves to feed the 5,000, how many hand baskets, koffinos, of leftover fragments had they taken up for their own needs? And the disciples replied, 12. Now it's interesting, five loaves and two fish would very easily fit within one hand basket, all right? But they needed 12 full baskets, handheld baskets. And these baskets would have been, you know, maybe this big around and about that deep. You'd carry them in your hand, but they're full. 12 of those to carry what was left over. And the implication is, why did they pick those fragments up? They're for the disciples and Jesus. They weren't for the people. They didn't send them to the people. They took them for themselves, probably. So Jesus was providing it for them. Then he asked them, when he had broken the seven loaves for the 4,000, how many rope baskets that could carry a whole man, this is the Greek word spouris, of fragments had they taken up. Now, a rope basket that would fit someone such as myself or your dad there, Those are big baskets. And they took up seven of those, which is a lot more, actually, food than what they'd taken up with the feeding of the 5,000. And remember, we had studied this last week, that there were these people were hungrier. They'd gone 3 days without food, and some of these people had a long ways to go. So Jesus had provided a lot of food for them. They were hungry, and so he fed them. And yet, even though they were hungry, they had a lot more left over, which showed his grace. And of course, these loaves could have been used by the disciples. And so Jesus asked them, how many did you take up? They said seven. Jesus then asked his disciples, do you not yet understand? Now what's the point that he's getting after? To explain, in miraculously feeding Israel bread in the wilderness, Jesus had fulfilled Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 to 19, and being the prophet like Moses, who had fed Israel in the manna in the wilderness, and who was thus the Messiah. You'll remember that passage in Deuteronomy chapter 18, 15 to 19. God had, through Moses, said, there's going to be a prophet who's going to arise like unto myself, Moses is speaking. Unto him you shall hearken. So when Jesus miraculously fed people in the wilderness, in a wilderness area, food, so that they could be fed, he was doing what Moses was doing in the wilderness in Old Testament Israel. And he didn't do it just once, he did it twice. He did it with the feeding of the 5,000, which were all Jewish people. Then he did it with a large segment of people, possibly a lot of them were Gentiles, over on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee as well. So he demonstrated that he was the Messiah by his miracles. Christ thus taught that his works of recently miraculously producing material food as the Messiah, when his disciples' food supply greatly lacked, should have caused them to know that he did not now expect them to produce material food. See, they're thinking that he was, you know, warning them about buying food from the Pharisees, and Jesus said, you don't get it. I can provide that. We've got one loaf here in the bread. One loaf, we only have 13 of us. Do you think, you know, I can do something with this loaf? Look what I did with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Look what I did with 7 loaves. So why are you guys asking the question, why are you thinking that somehow I'm going to make you buy bread when you've got this loaf and I've already proved myself in the past? So Jesus is chiding them because of their lack of faith in him. They should have realized that he thus spoke of spiritual leaven, the sin he had just critiqued in the Pharisees, and of which Herod was also guilty. We know that because in Luke 23, Herod was looking for a miracle from Jesus. And they failed to trust in Jesus for seeking authenticating signs, contrary to biblically authenticating miracles. Whether it was Herod or the Pharisees, they wanted a sign that was going to knock their socks off. They wanted to see the sky rip open and God show himself. Otherwise, they wouldn't believe. In other words, this is a sign that they wanted. They weren't interested in how Jesus was fulfilling Scripture. That was beside the point. Well, Jesus wasn't going to do anything that was apart from Scripture. He had come to fulfill the will of the Father, which was to do the will of God by doing these miracles that he was doing, healing the sick, raising the dead, and so forth. So these men were without excuse. So the disciples dropped the ball because they assumed that Jesus was going to make them buy bread when he had already proved over and over that he could easily provide for their needs. They shouldn't have been thinking about physical food at all. So Jesus critiqued the unbelief both of the Pharisees and also of his disciples in their failing to heed the message of his miracles that fulfilled Old Testament scripture in identifying himself as the true Messiah. So may we believe on Jesus as the Messiah due to his biblically authenticating miracles. And as believers, may we continue to trust our Lord's material provisions in the Christian life as our Messiah and God. I have an illustration that works beautifully with this. This morning in the worship service, you heard me announce that I felt that there had been somebody in the church that had given all this money to missionaries and how the missionaries had been helped. Well, after making that announcement, our treasurer came up to me and he kind of sided up to me, Barry did, in his own unique way, put his hand around me and says, I paid him. He said, we had so much money that had come in at the end of the year. Remember how we had been behind $10,800 and some odd dollars? He says, I felt that I needed to pay him off. So you'll see, on the January 4th, 2015 report, Bills paid $18,591. All right? Now, 10,881 of that, $10,881 was the amount that we were behind in 2012. Now it's zero. All right? He also paid salary for me, and he also paid some of the money, you know, for my Christmas, $3,065. The end balance is $3,576. So the beginning balance was $12,937. The offering was $9,230, which brought it up to $21,230. That's how much money was there, so he paid the money out. So Barry came to me this morning and he says, that's what happened. All the missionaries got paid. He said, now we're back down to the low level. But he says, you know, the Lord's provided before, and I'm sure he'll provide again. But he says, I just felt it was the right thing to do. So, we haven't voted on this as a congregation, as a board or anything. The treasurer went ahead and paid him. So, once again, here we are in the seat of faith. But you know what? The Lord has provided, and the Lord is going to provide again. So I thought, this is the illustration that I've got to use for this message tonight. So I'm going to take this. I'm going to keep it in my office. I'll make copies. There are still some. This is January 4th, 2015. This is the January 11th, 2015. He paid another $1,628 in bills, so the money that he had left as a result of the 11th was $1,947.86. So, you know, we got down to the bare nubbins here. But, hey, we paid our missionaries off. So we are up to date, y'all. And I'm very, very thrilled because of this. But it's an opportunity. As God has met our needs in the past, he'll meet our needs in the future. What we need to do is just trust him.